SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
2 hours in sports radio.
How are the two best hosts on Grid Radio?
Moneyline with Donnie Wrightside.
Mustache, glasses, and a bacon, egg, and cheese. You know what? I just keep moving. I keep it moving.
But here.
Kevin Walsh.
No, it's not a bad take. You're in outer space
North. And the dream team of callers.
I hope you guys checked the tape right. That was the 5-0 Vegas.
Bring it.
Astros, Rangers, Astros over.
Smoke.
Check
all
the
smoke.
Tape.
Yep. Easy, too. It feels good.
It was, wasn't it? Man.
To listen to you guys also with all that great information you gave out on players' props. So it's going to be a fun night tonight.
I just honestly became a huge Sports Grid fan and over the last year, and I found you in K-Dub show, man, and I have been addicted.
And let me give a shout-out to my man, JP, holding it down behind the scenes.
There it is.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM, Channel 159.
Here we go. Time to open the show. It's a Thursday afternoon, and behind that curtain... His name, Kevin Walsh, he's back. How's it feel, K-Dub? Audience loves it. I mean, enjoying themselves out here in these streets. We're ready to go on a Thursday. It's
going
to be a good one.
I need another day off immediately after that. I will say, you really come to learn that if your days off are Tuesday, mm-hmm. Wednesday, that you're already going to catch slander due to the Donnie Wrightside propaganda.
Yeah, of course.
Man, you take a day off either direction on top of those, people essentially ask you, how was the tropical islands you've been in for the last 6 weeks? Because, I mean, it's essential. I'm getting welcome backs. Oh, you must have been on vacation. Yeah. No, I took one day off. I had a three-day weekend.
Yep. Coming back here, fired up, ready to go. Like, I think we're going to have a good day today. I think we've got a lot of really good hard-hitting topics, which include, Kevin, a game which I'm hoping that this has to be live on the MLB Network. No?
Yeah,
yes, we do. Angels, Tigers, live right now. My same game parlay. So got a couple seconds to get this in here. Shohei Ohtani. Look, 7.5 strikeouts here. He's got to get 8. I think he can do that today. But also, Shohei Ohtani to get a base knock today. As well. Now, let me see what that actual... What was the payout here on that? Let me see if I can look that back up here. As I am now location restricted, apparently, that I'm not in New Jersey right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. I think it was around a plus 150 range here.
In New Jersey, though, right?
I am in New Jersey, yeah.
It has to do with your fancy setup. Plug it out.
Plus 168.
Works.
Yeah, plus 168 here as it goes. So, there we go. Locked and loaded. Ohtani for a base hit. Ohtani for 7.5 strikeouts. When it happens, K-Dub. Boom. Let's go, baby.
I got to
feel it.
I did take the showstoppers, the Tigers team total over 3.5. I used a little
like
DK
that too,
boost
by the way.
On that.
That's not bad. So you get 3.5. What's the price point on that?
Plus 130 because I used the 50% profit boost that was sitting on DK. Yeah.
Hold on. Now,
I know that's
people.
Big for you, right? With your RBIs
and
everything.
It's kind of funny because I didn't even look at that. They've been FanDuel's been so wrapped up in the Women's World Cup, and I got to tell you. I had 250% odds boost or a profit boost on there for the World Cup.
Yeah.
I didn't even bet any of them because it was such a limited thing. It was like forcing me to do like, okay, this person has to score and U.S. has to win. And I actually didn't even take the odds boost yesterday, which was the U.S. women to win and get a goal from either, which actually wasn't bad. It was Alex Morgan and who's
Smith?
The other one? Smith, yes, Sophia Smith.
Yeah.
I ended up passing it. Luckily, it didn't win for myself. I didn't bet it, but yeah, that didn't work out so well for me.
What was that paying out, that boost?
Plus 150. It wasn't bad. It was almost correlated, right?
Yeah.
Two best goal scorers on the team. If they're going to win, you figure they're probably going to get at least one or two goals, and those would be the ones that you get.
Yeah, it is incredible, though, that game had a boost. Now, so let me ask you this, because you were doing the show's day after, so maybe you had a better read in it, kind of. Do you think there was more hype and conversation around their game against Vietnam or their game against Netherlands?
I would say Vietnam, because it was the first game.
I totally agree.
Friday night, too.
But you get the boost on the Netherlands game, and I really think it's because I think FanDuel ultimately priced themselves at a boosting that game. Like, I think that's what we ended up with there. They gave like a profit boost, like you said, that they were that you could have used if you wanted, which is you know, make your own decision type of thing. But like I think what you were saying was like you wanted Alex Morgan for a goal, a plus 100 or something like that. I don't even mean that. Like, we're like, look, just give people a free one. And again, the best, she didn't even score against me.
No.
It's just incredible.
No, neither one. And also, the best part about it is I was away. Me, the wife, and the kid went to Lancaster. So we were in the hotel room, got something to eat, came back, and actually dozed off in the first, like, 15 minutes, which the U.S. scored. But, like, right when I actually woke up and saw that they scored, it was I knew it wasn't Alex Morgan. So I was like 15 minutes, 20 minutes in, 25 minutes, 30 minutes in. I'm going, oh, man, come on. It's got to get some opportunities because they had constant rushes. Sure. And then I saw the penalty, which then went to VAR and confirmed it. So the next thing is like, well, who's actually taking this penalty? And it was Alex Morgan. Like, I got up out of bed like, all right, like $50 was going to pay back like, I don't know, $115. I'm like, this is nice. Nice little shot at night. I got angry as if I would have lost like the, I don't know, like an Eagles anytime touchdown. Like, I was upset because it was like, oh, this is it. Like, if you would have asked me, hey, by the way, Alex Morgan's going to get a penalty shot, like, sign me up, man. And it lost.
I remember you and I were on air once. I was betting some Manchester United game. And I had a Ronaldo anytime goal score. And he stepped up for a penalty. And I remember you were making fun of me. You're like, will you stop? Like, nobody's ever missed a penalty in the history of soccer. And he did make it. So it is kind of, I'll be honest with you, a little funny to see that you didn't end up missing the penalty.
Yep, I thought I had a free, basically, $60 in my pocket, but Kevin, the gambling gods did this to me. Yeah, they took it right away from me. We're going to be right back here, boy. We got a long way to go. Don't you go anywhere, people. Anyway.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Football is where it's at. Women's football, yeah. World Cup action. Football in the field. Hard Knocks. The New York Jets. By the way, Shohei Ohtani is up at the plate right now, where there is a runner on first base and a 2-0 count. So the only thing that isn't sweet right now, per se, would be a walk for Ohtani as he takes a strike. But having said that, I did take a bet here, Kevin, over the break. DraftKings, use the profit boost. They let me get down $10, which was hilarious, but I'm still in. Runs, hits, and RBI over 1.5 combined for Shohei Ohtani today. So we'll see what he does. He has a 2-2 count right now. So I guess if he walks, it's not bad. He could be driven in. But I want that base hit for my same game parlay right off the bat. And then we'll see if we can take control here of Shohei Ohtani on the mound. But they are underway on a 5-game Major League Baseball card today. How about that?
Yeah, that is a little odd. Usually they avoid cards that are slates that light. Is there any reason at all for that?
Too, really. Like, this is doubleheader in this game, too. It's really only supposed to be four, which is rare. Because you know what I was noticing over the past couple weeks? I'm like, you know what? Major League Baseball is doing a really good job. Because in the past, you'd have a light Monday and, like, a light Thursday. And I mean light, like, 5, 6, maybe 7 games if you were lucky. But it looks like they balanced out a lot more. But certainly, for some reason, just not today at this point, as a full count here to Shohei Ohtani with a pitch right down the middle. He fouls off. Come on, Shohei. Need that base knock right out of the gate here for this one.
Yeah, I'm expecting big things from Shohei today since you are in on Shohei today and feel like he profiles well. So is it because it's easy for you to just come up with showmentum and everything like that?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you guys are, we're all in out here. Oh, he strikes. Now, I don't actually mind that for Way. Ohtani looks at strike three. Yeah, exactly. See how you know, what's the word I'm looking for here? How selfish I am out here. If you're not going to get a base hit, you might as well strike out, which is kind of hilarious, but really.
But see, that's wrong, actually. No, because you have hits, runs, and RBIs, actually. So
no, I know I do. But at the same time, like, the anger is, it's a full count. What are we looking for, a walk here, Shohei? Come on. Like, swing the bat, runner on first base. Because the same game parlay pays a lot more for me.
Right.
You see what I mean? Right. So it's like, I need a base hit and 7.5 strikeouts. If you're going to take walks here, it doesn't help me. And by the way, let's just start. Because walks, you can bet. DraftKings, you can bet that, you know, Bet365. You can bet that FanDuel.
It's an interesting market because I guess if you feel like you just take Juan Soto to walk as many times as he does, I mean, my goodness, man.
Like, would every guy have, like, incredible plus pricing to walk, and then Soto would be just, like, minus 150?
Yeah.
I don't even understand the number. Man, do you have the golf on by chance, DRS, on ESPN Plus? This guy, Hardy,
plus? Yes.
He just had to shoot a shot behind a tree. Yeah, I don't know if it's Matt or Jeff. But he just had to shoot a shot. And I'd say it was a heck of a shot. He ended up like getting it right on the green. He bent his club. Like, this thing's probably going to go viral. He slammed it against the tree. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what the best part is? You can't replace that club mid-round. Just gone.
Ooh.
Yeah. Do you know that about golf?
That's weird. Like
if you swing, like, let's just say it's not even your fault, Kevin. You tee it up, and your driver goes 60 yards down the fairway. Like, it just snaps off. Well, good luck to you. You don't have a driver the entire rest of the way. How about that?
Now, why is that? Now explain that.
I guess there's a lot of cheating.
See, now you're going to get me. Now you're going to get me angry. Now you're going to get me angry. What do you mean there's a lot of cheating? Now, because maybe I can hear this out, but right now I'm angry about this. Yes. Like, a guy's bat breaks it in the middle of the at-bat, and apparently in golf they'd say, well, swing with your hand, pal. Yeah. Like, no, I'm not.
Now you get me thinking here about Major League Baseball. You crack that bat, you're up there with just like a little 1 foot stub trying to swing it around in the bat. Like, hey, man, 3-2 count. Couldn't get a piece of that ball because I only had a handle in my hand. But the reason being, it actually does make sense because you can only have a limited amount of clubs in your bag. Otherwise, golfers would have 300 of them. Like, 50-degree wedge, 51, 52, 53, 54. Like, it would get ridiculous. Like, Bryson DeChambeau, he would have, like, a U-Haul truck out there going through inventory. You know what I mean? Like, he really would at that point.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I mean, come on now. I mean, I'll be here all week. I'll be here all week.
And now I'm done laughing at your jokes if you're going to play that stupid thing. Oh, my God.
But that's the simple form. Golfers will cheat at will. And then just imagine, like, you know what, man? I can really use that driver here. That was a different loft. Hey, ref guy, referee over here. Come over here. This thing's cracked. Okay, replace it. Good. Oh, got my good driver back in the bag now. See, that guy, golfers would do that, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'm figuring it out. Okay. And I guess the driver, maybe they should have, like, the driver thing, though, feels tough. Because at the end of the day, like, if your putter and driver break, you seem absolutely screwed. Like, this is where, like, I know I'm going to sound like I don't know what I'm talking about, and I guess I don't. But, like, if you're, like, 3-iron breaks, like, get over it. Like, just hit the other one. I feel like you'd be fine.
Yeah, no. People would be all bent out of shape at that. Like, what's the difference between a 9 and an 8-iron? Well, I mean, get out there and hit it. Just gas up the 9. It'll be just like an 8-iron. It doesn't technically work like that. It's all fluid and swings. But the reason why you can't do that, which sounds dumb, is golfers would cheat left and right or have 7,000, you know, different types of irons in their bags. It would be ridiculous the way it gets off at that point. So just the way it is. By the way, the 3M Open, Hideki Matsuyama, 7-under par today so far. Yeah. Actually, he's on 18, it looks like, or at least that's what the update is, through 17 holes. Impressive.
Yeah, no, he's rocking and rolling. The female, so this is kind of where...
Yeah, let me get to this leaderboard.
Yeah, expectations can be a killer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Finau is right in the mix, only behind Matsuyama on the odds board. But, as I told you this morning, he was 5-under DRS, this guy.
Oh, that's right.
5-under through 4. And if last I saw it, I think it was still 5-under.
Yeah. Stalling out, basically. By the way, the guy I like, Sepp Straka, through 17 even. I mean, it might sound good, you know, in a certain tough tournament. Not in this tournament, man.
No.
Man. Now, do we have any surprises really down that board? There's a lot of guys that haven't teed off just yet, so.
Mm-hmm.
Our guy Griot's out there. Mullinax, JT Poston. He's got your interest out here. Stefan Jager, which actually is Steven, I believe.
Is it?
I don't know. One of those guys got us confused a couple weeks ago, though.
Yeah. Jager usually does well on courses that are meant to play low in that opening round. I don't know what he's shooting right now. I tell you, DRS was one of those things. I was going to actually stay off the tournament. And it would have been the first week of me leaving tournaments alone since the U.S. Open. So I've had a nice little run with it. I've been enjoying the golf. And then, but the guy I wanted to bet was Justin Thomas. And I had a friend reach out to me. He's like, you know, what are you thinking? And I let him know, and he goes, man, I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, all right, you know what? Mm. Let's go for it. Because you know this. Would I be angrier if I lose the money that I put down on Justin Thomas or if he wins this tournament and I didn't bet him? And it's not even close. It's if he wins this tournament and I didn't bet him.
And we also take a look at those bets where it's like, hey, man, Justin Thomas, top 20. Yeah, he won by 5 strokes. You're like, it was a great pick, but man. How about a little bit of sprinkle there on winning the tournament for a nice little paycheck there? But again, beggars can't be choosers at that point. Kevin, next segment, I think you know where we're going here. I think you know where we're going here next. Aaron Rodgers, New York Jets. Taking pay cuts, looking to increase the peace over here. And by the way, did I just see a new quote? You see this quote by Robert Saleh today? Quote, if you ain't got no haters, you ain't popping. Oh, boy.
Whoa.
The Jets are ready to turn. Jets are ready to turn the public against them here, and I'm all for it.
Yeah, no, see, this is, I'm going to really need to pin you down on a couple of takes just so I – not even because you playing both sides is always funny, but I just am so confused, like where you stand on the team like the Jets. Because I've watched you in the same show talk about, be like, man, I kind of like what they're bringing to the table, and like, man, I hate this Jets team. Like, it goes in ebbs and flows with that group for you.
No, it's going to be good. And by the way, I did want to set this up because we're going to get into football in the next segment. There's a coach, which I got a lot of respect for this move. I'm not going to tell you what coach it is. But he's new in town, so it limits the field. He's basically going like, film I watched last year on this team, maybe the worst coaching job I've ever seen in basically the history of sport. It's a fun topic here because Kevin probably called it game one last year. So did I. We didn't like this guy, and apparently this coach doesn't like him either. Find out what football team this coach now coaches for. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In camp. Now, I have a quote here that we're going to listen to Sean Payton here momentarily, but it's not the quote I wanted because I couldn't find it. And the quote we're going to go with Sean Payton is basically, I'm the head coach now, and we've just opened camp.
Well, it starts with the team, right? That's what the head coach does. And then it's an area that I work with, and part of that's hiring guys that I know and that are installing in coaching what we want, we believe. I like the staff we put together, and you know, when it comes to the words throughout the week, mine will be not nearly as frequent as some of the other position.
See, he's being nice right there, K-Dub, right? He's being nice. Now, the quotes that I wanted to be on record in front of camera were this one, and this comes from an ESPN report. It said, in an expansive mood, Peyton called the work Nathaniel Hackett and his staff did with the 2022 Broncos, quote, one of the worst coaching jobs in the history of the NFL, and said there were, quote, 20 dirty hands around quarterback Russell Wilson's career worst season. I love that because that, you know what that means to me? The new sheriff is in town, and I'm not afraid to say it. This team should be good. They were bad. I'm going to make them good. That's what I get out of it.
Yeah, I like it from Sean Payton as well. You don't owe Nate Hackett anything.
No, respect. Come on.
No, and again, look, here's the thing. He's not lying. He's not lying. Told you right away. Told you right away, guy was in over his head. Okay? And he has a lot to do with where things went wrong. Look, I also think Russell Wilson was injured last year. It is one of those stories. Look, this happens sometimes. Sometimes we're just uninterested in facts because the Russell Wilson fall off was a fun for a lot of people. And look, it was bad. They were Iowa in the NFL. I mean, it was unimaginable how bad that team was on the offensive side. But look, I don't run from it. I know this will sound crazy to people. I picked them to win the Super Bowl, and I felt vindicated as I watched their season. Because I thought with Russell Wilson's usual level of play, everything else around them was Super Bowl level. That defense thought it was maybe the best in football. If Russell Wilson was his normal self, that team would have, at minimum, been a Super Bowl contender, if not the Super Bowl favorites, with how incredible that defense was. So if you're Sean Payton, you have to get Russ back.
And even if I'm correct, right, Donnie, and it only has to do with injury, a season like that can mess with somebody's head. So you want to do everything you can to say all the right things to let Russ know, hey, babe, not on you, not on you, and we're going to prove him this year that you're still that guy.
Yes, and they should be much, much better just because they should be competent. And sometimes that's all you need. At quarterback, we know Russell Wilson might not be the guy that we saw 5 to 6 years ago athletic-wise, but there's no reason to believe he can't operate from the pocket and dominate. They have a lot of talent on that team, an elite play caller now, and a defense that should be able to handle it. Now, granted, division's kind of tough. You're looking up there at the Kansas City Chiefs. You're looking at the Chargers. It's not going to be an easy walk, no doubt. But the fact that they were so embarrassing last year, and by the way, was it Baker Mayfield and the Rams either on like a holiday that just beat them so bad they had to fire their head coach, if I remember correctly? It was like the Nickelodeon game.
Yeah, it was. Was that Christmas?
It might have been Christmas. Year's? It was. I thought it was a holiday game, like a standalone game.
It was. It was, but it was also like super deep into the season. But it wasn't that. I don't know if it was just that they got embarrassed.
Was it the Black Friday game? Was it a Black Friday game? Maybe I can't remember.
Might have put 50 on them, Donnie. Honestly, yeah. it was. But I feel like did the Broncos also score a bunch? Hold on, let me pull this up. Yeah. Oh wow, 51-14 a Christmas day.
Yeah. Christmas day. There you go. Standalone game.
Man. Wow. Yeah. Incredible. Russ, one touchdown, three picks.
Basically quit there.
Awful. Also, Russ did this last year, DRS, where like he kind of ended on that positive note. Like, I don't know, like they were right there with the Chiefs in that 27-24 loss, and then they beat that Chargers. And if you remember, you're like, oh, Chargers, they're probably resting everybody. Nope. Chargers forgot to rest everybody because of that buffoon Brandon Staley, and they beat them. He threw three touchdowns on that Charger defense that left starters out there the entire game, Russ.
But by the way, keeping it in this, I guess, a new beef that's starting here, Ari Miroff tweet here has Sean Payton also took a shot at the Jets. He says the only winning they're going to have is in the offseason. Quote, we're not doing any of that. The Jets did that this year. You watch Hard Knocks, all of it. I can see it coming. Broncos and Jets in Week 5. And it says in the Zach Rosenblatt tweet said, Robert Saleh on Sean Payton. Obviously, we're doing something right if you've got to talk about us when we don't play until Week 4. Said, quote, there are a lot of crows pecking at our neck. That's going to be phenomenal TV to watch. Is it a primetime game, at least 4:25? Like, where is that? Gotta be.
Yeah, you would hope. No, maybe even more prime time than that. I don't know if it's. But now is that just more Nate Hackett stuff? Like, what's the MO there?
I think it's really the head coach picking up for his offensive coordinator at this point. Hey, by the way, did you hear that your offensive coordinator just got called by one of the better coaches in history? Basically, the dumbest coach I've ever seen, and I don't know what he was doing. He got fired quickly. It's just Robert Saleh basically covering himself, going like, "Why hired the guy?" So
yeah, but him attacking the Jets. I mean, Peyton. That's just more to do with Hackett, or he doesn't like Aaron Rodgers. Like,
no, I just think they're just. It was like a double down because apparently, like a new sheriff in town. It feels like it's kind of wild where you don't really see this from NFL coaches, to say the least. Where it's like, hey, let's go back and forth and get after it here. But my goodness.
Sean Payton's kind of running with house money, right, in Denver, when you think about it?
No, yeah, yes.
Like, he's probably Hall of Fame-level coach. I don't know how strict the criteria is to get in for coaches, but he's certainly been one of the best in this sport for a very long time. And if things go wrong, I don't think he's going to really get a lot of blame. I think it's going to be Russ, and they're probably going to let him draft a quarterback.
I'm trying to think, like, if you're Sean Payton and you show up there, right? Like, he had to fight for that job and go, I can't even believe this. I'm going to fall into a situation where they were so bad last year, they had to fire their first year coach, with weeks to go in the season. Like, I'm just going to walk in there and get full control of that organization with a new ownership group. And he basically got all of that. And if you watch his press conferences, like, he always had command of the room with the Saints, right? Mm-hmm. But it just feels like he's, like, just directing traffic now. Like, first press conference I was watching, it was like 11 minutes long, where I just pulled one of those clips out there. And he basically was like, you just asked that question and look somewhere else to another question. It's like, wow. Like, he's like, you know what? I'm not even going to play nice right now. I'm here to win football games, and I'm going to do that.
Yeah. Sean Payton, though, to me, is still he's consistently been one of the best coaches in this sport. And remember, we were at a point
where it was like, ah, it looks like Sean Payne's not going to get the jobs he wants because Dallas stuck with McCarthy and the Chargers stuck with Staley. And it's like, I guess he's just going to wait the cycle out. You know, let's see what jobs come available. Does Bill step down and go to New England? And what other, you know, who else could flame out, right? That's kind of where we were with all that. And obviously Denver came in and made this work. And it's the right move for the Broncos. Look, you talk about this, like, right? With that salary cap doesn't exist for a coach. Spend. Why not? Go get it, you know? I know they had to give up assets to the Saints, but... It's a good piece of business for Denver, and people have reason to believe that this team can really make some noise this season.
Yeah, we're going to slander another organization, but Justin Herbert did get paid. Here's his first response in front of the press.
How surprised are you that your club got this deal signed before camp started or before there could be any more distractions?
First off, I'm so thankful to the Chargers organization, the Spanos family, Tom Telesco for believing in me 3 years ago, and Ed McGuire, Katie Sylvan. Words aren't enough to express how thankful and how glad I am to be a part of this organization. And I had complete faith in them from the get-go. And, I've never wanted to be anywhere else. This is where I've wanted to be for, as long as I've been born and playing football. So it's a dream come true. And, just really excited to be back out there with the team today.
No, it's Justin Herbert Canadian, the organization twice got included. And that's what I actually took away from that quote. I didn't care what he said as soon as he said organization here. But the reason we're bringing this up is he got a massive paycheck. Now, we're talking about the Denver Broncos. They're owned now by the Walton family. This is like, okay, money is not an issue. If we can circumvent the cap by paying big signing bonuses and coaching staffs, we're going to do that. And the reason why I wanted to bring up Herbert is, got his money. I'm excited for the Chargers because sometimes, again, we know the talent on the team. We kicked them around a lot last year. Ridiculous way they lost in the wild card round. Should have won that game against the Jaguars, but didn't. But when you go man for man on that team, there's a ton of talent. So I think they're going to have a good season. But if we flip this over to next man up and get paid, and we just said the Denver Broncos got new ownership, tons of money. Looks like the Chargers aren't scared of spending money right now. You look at a couple high payroll guys that they have. Then there's the Bengals. And there's Joe Burrow. And he's waiting to get paid. And then we talk about Jamar Chase getting paid. And then T. Higgins wants in on this. This is a team, Kevin, if you have an ownership group committed, which they should be at this point, there's plenty of money to go around, can be a really good organization for a decade. But do you feel like the Bengals have a chance of messing this up?
No, actually. I actually don't find these quarterback contracts that difficult, right? So the Hurts deal maybe was trickier to figure out, but Donnie, Lamar couldn't figure out how to get a deal done. The Ravens couldn't get a deal done with him. Hurts got a deal done, and all of a sudden, the most complicated situation in football got resolved in, like, a week. Because it's like, yeah, well, we obviously know what the framework is. We're going to pay a touch more than Jalen. You're an MVP, and we value you. And then the Herbert deal got done, and that was a touch more than Lamar. So, I guess, again, like, we say Cincinnati messes this up, and there hasn't been a lot of reporting on this, right, Donnie? And I guess it's because both, you know, sides are almost being respectful for one another right now. But what's the holdup here? Is Joe Burrow asking for money that would make even the biggest Joe Burrow supporter go, dude, what are you doing? Do you ever want to win a football game again after this season? You want $80 million a year? I mean, what's the story right now?
He goes in there to Brown. I want $80 million a year. What did you just say? $80 million a year. My goodness. We'll be back right after the break. Don't go anywhere. It's Moneyline in the afternoon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Angels 1, Detroit Tigers 0. Strikeouts here from Ohtani early is what we wanted to see here. Now we just got to get some base hits, get after it, and have some fun. We're talking Major League Baseball. We're talking some, you know, NFL action, which I love camp the first couple days. You get excited. You hope nobody gets injured. But by the way, Kevin, did you see this morning at camp? And again, it's probably not a big deal. Garrett Wilson went down with a ankle injury in left practice and didn't return. So people get real bent out of shape early from that stuff.
Well, listen, I saw the Jalen Ramsey one as well. It's we're not there. We're not seeing it. So it's just, guy went down. And people tend to think the worst. It is a good reminder. It's why, Donnie, I don't know if you've locked in any NFL futures yet. $10 free bet, Sean Payton, Coach of the Year. I don't know if that counts. But, look, there is still potential, unfortunately, for injuries that really matter to take place here.
Yes, correct. So, I mean, even though, you know, deep down it's like, Cowboys getting injured. It's like, is that the worst thing in the world? I mean, that's what fans do, right? Saying, you know what? Prayers up to Jalen Hurts. He got injured, and then deep down the Cowboy fans are like, pfft. These won't admit it, but, you know, that's what some fans deep down think about that. I want everybody to get there healthy. Why? Because our team, the Eagles, is very good. So, yes, if everybody's full strength, the Eagles got a pretty good shot to do some damage this year. But we'll see. And again, you can't escape it. It's very rare you have a team, which is, man, I just get so angry about this. Like, the Eagles had the best team by far in the NFL last year and were healthy and still couldn't come away with a championship because Patrick Mahomes had 47 minutes and 16 needles placed into his ankle to be dominant, and also a field where he was injured, but you still couldn't pass rush him because the field was so sloppy. I know it sounds homerish, but I'm only spitting facts right now, Kate. You are.
I think I'd kind of been a Chiefs guy regardless and before, but yeah, very authentically. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, yes, proudly, right? I like Reed. I like Mahomes. And you and I very authentically kind of had our strong stances on the Bills versus Chiefs debate. And, I mean, I won that every time because look at the end result. But I can't pretend that I don't now find myself, you know, side-eyeing Mahomes, side-eyeing the Chiefs, frustrated by them because of the way that Super Bowl played out. You know, it wasn't like the Eagles just got smashed. Man, a double-digit lead that just couldn't hold on. I mean, and I don't know if anybody cares about this, but nevertheless, I find myself lower on Kansas City this season, and I don't know if it's a coincidence or if I'm just pretty angry about everything still.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. What's this? Top of the third inning now. Top of the lineup here for the Angels. So Otani will get an at-bat this inning. We'll see where that goes here. But, yeah, I mean, the Chiefs, we know they're going to be good. I mean, same old story. Buffalo Bills probably going to be good. We think the Jets will be. But the reason I want to keep bringing up Cincinnati, let me ask you this. Like, you talk about, like, keeping homegrown talent in the building. When Jamar Chase was injured, he needed some help. Like, T. Higgins was performing like he was supposed to as a number one wide receiver. When you see organizations, and again, sometimes they don't always make the best decisions. How have you not planned? Because the one rule of thumb in the NFL, typically in most situations, outside of running back, which is quite unique right now, like Jonathan Taylor's coming into the last year of his contract. Like, yeah, play it out, and then we'll tag you. That seems to be the new wave. But a wide receiver who is healthy and has done everything he's asked of and has been dominant, and T. Higgins, he's got to feel like he comes in the room and goes, well, I'm not the first priority. That's Joe Burrow. And right now, I might not even be the second priority to keep happy because we have Jamar Chase ahead of me. But I'm in my last, like, you're supposed to take care of me, and you haven't yet.
Well, okay, so I'm trying to balance this because you said something to me a long time ago about a different subject. You're like, well, athletes are irrational. But if T. Higgins is, Donnie, he's not only not first and probably not second. I mean, he's not even on the same level of those two in terms of how they value, you know, Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. Okay, that is not a close evaluation for Cincinnati. And I think T. Higgins, Donnie, it probably was aware. Look, there were T. Higgins trade rumors and chatters when the offseason hit because of this exact reason, that them paying him is potentially going to be impossible. And it's the listen. Well, we don't want to lose him for nothing, right? What a talent, what a player. So we got to go out there and figure something out. And look, if you're Cincinnati, you're in that room saying, look, we keep everybody for this season. We go out there this year trying to win a Super Bowl. And if that's the end of T. Higgins' time here, then so be it. But it is going to be difficult to lose him for nothing, which is certainly the direction they're trending towards.
But not even losing him for nothing. Like, there's something to be said about, like, you know, young star wide receiver. No, and it's not even like, hey, man, I'm eligible for my extension. They go, well, come on, I know you're eligible, but you're still under contract 2 more years. We'll look at it next year. Like, he's done after this year. And again, you can franchise tag him. What are you going to do? Franchise tag a couple different players and, you know, hey, couldn't work out anything with Burrow. We're going to franchise tag him. You see where that goes down the line. But just from a, you know, mindset, like, man, look, we're trying to be all in to win a Super Bowl. Like, I've done everything you've asked. And it's like, hey, you know what? You're just going to have to wait your turn, and maybe we'll franchise tag you, transition tag you, or move. But those players, they understand. They want their money when they can get it. And quite frankly, last year, he was eligible for it. Like, if you were smart with Cincinnati, you pay T. Higgins last year, and you start, okay, we signed him for this. He's happy. Next up is Burrow. Next up is Chase. Are they all three going to basically, because I do believe, is Ja'Marr Chase eligible for an extension yet or no? That's not till next year, I think.
Probably next year.
Is this his third year?
This is going to be his third
year.
Third year is eligible. Would you believe that this team is actually well aware of all this and they just don't intend on ever paying Higgins?
I just think
they don't intend on paying T. Higgins. And they think to themselves, look, Joe Burrow is a special talent. We have the number one wide receiver in football. That's what they believed. I don't care who you think the number one wide receiver is. That's not the point of my point here. Cincinnati thinks it's Ja'Marr. And they're going to let that go. That's kind of how I see it.
No, the reason why I bring this up too is I'm just trying to make sure I get these players' names right. I know one of them obviously is Jesse Bates. They basically told, like, hey, you're one of the better safeties in the league. We're not paying you. You're going to be happy with this tag. You're going to show up, or else you sit the whole season. We don't care. And they did it. Who was the other safety that I believe they lost as well? Was it Von Bell? Whoever they had before, like, they lost both of their, like, quarterbacks of their defense because they didn't want to pay him. The reason I bring, like, this is the MO. Like, if you take a look, and I'm not even going to compare to, let's just say, the Dallas Cowboys, who basically would like to pay everybody and have the means to do it. But you're talking about cornerstones. And I don't, like, take it lightly where I say to myself, if you gave T. Higgins a contract he was happy with, and you gave Ja'Marr Chase a contract he was happy with, and also Joe Burrow, I let the chips fall wherever they go. I mean, I really do on Cincinnati. Like, you're telling me over the next 4 to 5 years, those three guys, healthy and playing together, and I'm not winning divisions and maybe AFC championships and chances to play in the Super Bowl. Like, you drafted those guys. So you're like, man, I lucked out. Most people whiff on draft picks. They nailed those. And it's like, you know what? We're going to mess around with their money, and you're not going to pay them, and you're under contract, show up. And the best part about it, let's just say T. Higgins did go that route and goes, look, I'm not playing under my final year where I don't have any other means if I get hurt. And I really do think this is time, like, well, you're under contract, sit out then. Crazy.
Yeah, are you genuinely of the mind that there's a world where they don't pay Ja'Marr or Joe? I don't think that's on the board. I only think it's going to be your T. Higgins and your Joe Mixons that are, like, left out of the puzzle.
Because hear me out on this, because, again, you're dealing with the preface of the most, or should I say, the cheapest organization in the NFL by a wide margin. This is not like, okay, it's the Niners, it's the Philadelphia Eagles, it's the Giants, where it's like, okay, we just open the vault, we give you the money if it makes some sense. Like, if they're going to show me a lot, Kevin, to be honest, and it's a no-brainer how much money and how quickly now they take care of Joe Burrow. If they go $275 million, you know, $1 higher in guaranteed money than either Jalen Hurts and Justin Herbert, like, you know what? They're in. Because you know what else that means? They're not going to say, well, we signed our quarterback, we can't sign the wide receivers. Like, no. Like, Joe Burrow is going to be in that room going, look, I understand I'm getting the money. I deserve it. And the money is there. But if you want this thing to work, we got to keep these guys around, and it only makes some sense. Because any other organization that wasn't like, hey, I don't know if I have the money, like, it's a no-brainer. Like, T. Higgins would have never gotten to the final year of his contract. Never in a million years. But I just think they're playing it out like, well, rookie contract, we'll save some money, we got to pay our quarterback. Even at the detriment of their team, it's like, well, that's the best physical responsibility we can use.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm seeing it as maybe kind of one last chance with this current iteration. But look, again, if you want to try and bring everybody back, why can't Burrow sign a 10-year, $500 million contract? Right?
Well, I don't know if he would agree to that, to be honest. Like, I think he's young enough where it's like, hey, give me 4 or 5 years. I'm gonna ring that bell again. But then again, at the same time, you look at that same contract, the 10 years, $500 million, which does look like a bargain. At any moment, you can see Patrick Mahomes' agent going, hey, guys. And they go, yeah, you know what, let's rip that up. We'll keep it at 10. How much you have left? Eight years, 7 years, 6 years? Here's your new extension. Another $600 million. Like, it's not locked in. Like, okay, you got to, like the NBA, right? If you were able to get a 10-year contract in the NBA, no negotiations. Nobody's sitting out. 10 years locked in. That's what you're getting no matter what. That's not the NFL. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure if Patrick Mahomes goes,
I want to be paid more. And they go, well, we have the contract. They go, well, how about this? We give you $100 million in guarantees this year for that. And he'd be like, yep, fine. But that's Patrick Mahomes.
Right. Well, but this is kind of my point, though, DRS, right? Why is it that Mahomes, who at this point already in his career has a bunch of people who believe he's the greatest quarterback of all time, or maybe most talented, right? Like, we have the greatest accomplishments. But Mahomes is operating like this, and then Burrow is not going to. Because here's the thing with the Mahomes deal, right? Is the Mahomes deal gave him security for a decade. And you're right. He could always pull back if need be and throw a little extra money. But he doesn't. Because he's like, look, I'm getting unbelievable money. I have great security. And I'm trying to win. Like, it would be a mistake for Joe Burrow. And again, so and maybe that, you know, instead of 10 years. Because what was the Mahomes thing? Did it end up kind of
10 for 500?
To, right? Or for 450? Right? Like, instead of Burrow worrying about beating the Herbert number, why don't you beat the Mahomes number? Why don't you beat the Mahomes number, Donnie? Like, is that a crazy suggestion?
Yeah, no, and I hear where you're going, but it's almost like you play that Lamar Jackson playbook that's like, or forget about the Lamar Jackson playbook. You can take a look at a guy that was in Washington, then goes to Minnesota. That's Kirk Cousins, who, again, he gets a lot of slander. But if you're talking like, if you were writing a book on how an NFL player who's not championship caliber should go about his career, Kevin, I mean, come on now. I mean, that's just, hey, you know, I'm going to bet on myself. Everybody needs quarterbacks. Like, man, you just paid him that much. Yeah. And you know what? Next year, when you go, oh, you can't pay him. Oh, you know what? We got to re-up again in even more money for a one-year contract. But, good quarterbacks, man. Shorter the term, the better, it looks like.
Yeah, yes, to a degree. But here's the other thing with Burrow. Like, if we're going to extend this a little bit, again, because it's so funny, man. We only do this with Lamar, and you all know why, and we don't need to get into it, Donnie. You know, he tore his ACL as soon as he got into the NFL. Joe Burrow.
Yes,
except Joe Burrow gets that contract, and nobody would dare bring up the word injury prone. I'm just, but like, so Don, like, would it make sense for Joe Burrow to get 10 years of security out of Cincinnati and continue to be able to win at a high level? Guaranteed?
Yeah, could be. I'll tell you what's guaranteed right now. Shohei Ohtani, 4Ks through 3 on pace, but 0-2 at the plate. Come on, Shohei. We'll talk some Major League Baseball. Not a huge card there, but we'll keep it also in the NFL. It's Donnie, it's Kevin. It's a Thursday afternoon on the grid. We'll be back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quick little segment here, Moneyline Thursday afternoon, Major League Baseball in action now. Still 1-0 here, Moustakas at the plate, top of the fourth inning, one out. And by the way, we were looking at this game as Moustakas puts one into the gap. Now, he's really slow, and he gets a single out of it, which is kind of funny. But, my gosh, man, I mean, rumble around those bases, young man, rumble around those bases. But having said that here, I thought the pitching matchups here did lean towards an under, but he had a good point on Ohtani. Because you're looking at his numbers overall, I'm like, hey, I don't want to mess with that guy. But his numbers have shown, like, you can get a hold of him. But just the Detroit Tigers haven't done that yet. Now, as I say that, yesterday, JP, who do we have and did we cash it in? Now, I know you went to the game yesterday and had a wager on that game. How did it turn out?
Turned out well. We had the over. It was sitting there 4.5. Cash it already before the last one even came in.
I mean, JP is the ultimate handicapper on the show, apparently. Just coming here firing. I think he had the Subway Series over the other day. I mean, my goodness, man. Just kicking it. So tonight, we don't have very many options in Major League Baseball. Are we going back to the baseball card, JP?
I am, yes.
All right. Now, I'm going to ask you this question. This is only like 3 games, right? Let's see what time frame we got for JP. Hold on. Is it before 7-11, or is it after 7:11 p.m. tonight?
It's before midnight. There's like 5 games on.
Oh, now that's a good. Now I like that. Like, not even answer.
Bybee, Cease. Let's see what we got here. Steele, Michaelis, Gray, Senga. JP, I feel like does like to go in on those Mets games. Mm-hmm. The Mets are heavily favored tonight. Now, is it a total, over, or under? What are we looking at today, JP?
Yeah, it's a total.
Okay. By the way, all of these games to me, if I'm looking at a total to go over, like a team total, I would take probably like the Mets. I think they can get the Gray, but Senga's got good numbers. Steel Michaelis have good numbers. Bybee Cease, good numbers there as well. A lot of stuff to contemplate here as we step it up. But hour number two, about to get underway. Your phone calls. If you want to call in and have some fun, 844-843-6879. There's a lot of stuff we can hit in hour number two, which includes a lot of
value.
Absolutely. Come on back. Hour number two up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.